Been a long time coming, a lot of dope running. Come on, hustling, trying to dodge the cases. It's your boy, yo, got it.
DJ Robert Lee.
Been begging, can't had to go back to
Robert
the
basement. Lee.
Hey, man, that's my old, that was my theme song.
Yeah, I know. I know, man. You can't do
old theme song, Yo Gotti.
Yeah.
And that was 2 Chainz, Gray Area.
Okay. I didn't know that. I haven't even seen the Gray Area.
2 Chainz, Gray Area. That's it now. It was, yeah, that's it. Oh, my
okay.
God. That jumped up so hard.
Tony.
He say, I just sat up on the stand, told a lie straight to the honor, old enough to be your daddy, young enough to fuck your mama. All the shit that I have done, I cannot believe in karma. Old enough to be your daddy, young enough to fuck your mom, young enough to fuck your auntie, young enough to... He just named everybody and every female.
In the family.
That he's old enough to
that
fuck.
That he's old enough. I got you. Mm-hmm. K-Dub, in the building, comedian, actor... One of the greatest hosts.
Oh, appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
K-Dub, I don't know. I feel like we haven't had a lot of conversations. But part of that, I have to be honest, I was ducking you when I first got in the game.
I know. I know who's ducking me. Everybody knows that I know. I can tell. I just told Moat William. I said, you stayed around nice comics. Get out of my face.
Hey, well, here's the thing. I plan on coming back around to the K-Dub world, but I wanted to be legit before I got there. I did not want to learn in front of, like, my favorite rappers and athletes and movers and shakers in the city, cool people my age. I didn't want to bomb in front of them. So I was like, Before I got to get right, and then I'm going to go to K-Dub's night.
What's crazy is I've never seen you not be good or great on, like, every time I ever seen you, you got out. And if I could say you bombed, I would say it.
No, I got booed off the stage one time. We was in Augusta. We was on the road.
See,
that
that's
was
the thing
a
about
long
it,
ride
though.
Back
that's
from
the
Augusta
thing about
to
it.
Atlanta.
Sometimes you can get booed, and I can hear what you say, and it get mean. Those people may not get. I don't judge you if you rip a crowd.
I got
you. You would rip a crowd, and I'd be like, man, you stole all that. I'd be like, it was hack. It was nothing. They easy. I would say anything against you winning, like if you didn't win the right way.
Yeah.
And if you bomb and your material is good and original, then you did better than the person that got a standing ovation with all that stealing and hack. And
that's
all
true.
That. So what I seen already. Was enough.
I mean, I would stick to my guns. You know, I wouldn't go up there and be like, all right, well, I'm gonna try to be somebody else out of town. You know, but at the same time, that was a long ride back from Augusta to Atlanta. But then the next day, I went to the Bay Area, did a Bay Area competition, made it to the finals.
And that's precisely what I said. What if I'd have told you that material wasn't adequate? Then you go to the Bay and see that it's just. Great material, but sometimes it is the crowd.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is the crowd. It just depends on who go up before you and how the host do that. So, you know, it could be a lot, man.
Mm-hmm.
And but the material, if you was just judging by the material and not everything around it, then you got, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some people got bad material and they want to do it because it make people laugh, and then they come around me, like I say, and I tell them, classic, you ain't shit. And that's what runs... other people off because they be thinking that I might say, I'll be like, no, I'm just really being, like I'm being Kenny Smith and Charles Barkley and Shaq. I'm just looking at it.
I always took it like that. The day I met you, you know, LeVar introduced me to you. He was like, this is a young up-and-coming comedian. This is Rob Hayes. This is K-Dub. I was like, oh, nice to meet you, K-Dub. He was like, quit.
That's hilarious.
But I was like, I want to rock in front of K-Dub. I want to have, you know, like the set of my night in front of K-Dub. You know what I'm saying? Like that was like a little goal.
Man, you used to come to Encore and Infusion. That's where I remember you from.
Yeah.
Anything else is a blur.
They told me Encore was the hardest room in the city.
So how did you do that? I remember you doing well.
And so then I was like, oh, I'm gonna go every week. I'm gonna go until I get up on there.
Well, I must be losing my mind because, like I said, I don't remember you being bad. I remember you doing well.
I was ducking you. I was ducking you, Doug. Y'all would do Showtime, I would be in the shadows. You and Daryl Dam and y'all playing all the Jodeci and Silk and
H-Town.
You know what I'm saying? H-Town and all that. Yeah, I'm watching and I'm like, man, one day. But yeah, I am in the crevice.
Damn, that's crazy. But you know, I be
near the green room and none of that. I'm just a spectator.
I kind of noticed you was distant, but I didn't know why. I thought maybe you're just working on something big, I guess. I don't know.
I really was like, I was like, your crowd is a crowd I want to never, like, I want to just come out of nowhere and they see me and then they just, yeah. I was real strategic like that, but it sucks because it's like now I feel like I don't have the same relationship with you that I have with other comics. Because I was ducking you.
Yeah, well, you probably ain't say much, but I said enough to you.
Well, a lot of your stories end with you getting in a fight. I do. A lot of the stories you would tell me would end, and then you would win the fight, but you would get.
I lost plenty of fights. We're not going to do that.
And I'm like, well, I'm not a fighter. I don't know if I should really just be, you know.
Well, I don't have a history of fighting comics. Might have fought two in the beginning, but.
Yeah.
But no, man, I don't know. I guess I come from a world where I guess this is my world. Where everybody had a daddy, and he just wasn't a daddy around. He was like a military dad, so. Not that I'm using people not having a dad but I'm just saying it's like they was telling you straight up. The older men was telling you straight up what was going on. Mm-hmm. Whether you smell like piss when you was three. Mm-hmm. I can remember smelling like piss at about two or three, and I can remember a grown person telling me. I remember one time I was saying, Scooby Dooby Doo, where are you? And one of my uncles was like, I got some piss for you now. Like it was just, and I knew. Like, I was the one that pissed. And I'm like, why is he cracking a joke about me smelling like piss? So it was always right in my face.
They shamed you into being potty trained.
They shamed me. You said it. They shamed me. So now when I see people, I kind of shame them into being better.
Okay. I feel that. Because I did grow up with my father, but my father wasn't that, like, tough nose, you know. Like, he just had a different style of parenting.
Well, my dad, too, he wasn't that bad. It was more my mother, uncles. Like, my dad was there, but it was more my mother. My mama was there. Like, worse. She was worse than me, I would say.
She's
a female me on steroids. Like, she's the nucleus of the insults. Like,
okay.
She'll hit anybody. And so that's where I get that from, where I hit anybody. I try to find something to say about anybody.
Yeah.
Not just somebody, but anybody.
Anybody.
So that's how she was. And then coming up, where they put it right on Front Street, it's kind of like I got around people that weren't like me, and they was just kind of like, I wouldn't want to call it sensitive, but they weren't used to it. Mm-hmm. They weren't used to being told, you know, that wasn't shit.
You talking about comedians or just like growing up?
I'm saying I grew up saying people saying that, but then when I came into a whole nother comedy world, I didn't think my mouth would keep people away from me, but it did. I didn't care or nothing, but it did.
Yeah. What made you choose comedy?
What made me choose it? I ain't choose it.
Okay.
Man, I was a class clown in ninth grade, and that was it. Then I was watching Richard Pryor and them, and they wasn't funny to me. So that's what made me want to do it. Not watching Richard Pryor or Martin. It was me watching Martin. Like, he ain't really that funny. That shit he doing. When I was watching Def Jam, looking like.
Yeah.
Watching Richard, like, okay, he funny, but he just saying, I want to be able to write the joke down and send it to somebody in jail, and they read it and laugh. Not you put that bullshit on it and make it funny, which is cool, too. So that's my jokes.
So you feel like transcribe your jokes, they would work.
Yeah, I feel like even if you wrote it down and gave it to a motherfucker that really couldn't read that good, and he kind of figured it out, he'll laugh.
I feel like you definitely have some lines like that, like anybody could, if anybody says it, you know, they could get it off. But I think you have other things that is totally the craft of how you say it and how you get it across. Like the McDonald's game, the Monopoly game. I feel like that joke, I don't think anybody could do that but you.
Yeah, because it comes from the old man from my town, like small Mississippi town, Cleveland, Mississippi, where older dudes actually talk like that, and that was the rhythm, and it was funny as hell. Like I would use that same little rhythm, but this guy here was actually trying to borrow some money, and he was talking, and the guy who was going to loan it to him was going to loan it to him, but didn't want to, but he had walked that way, and the guy was still talking to me, and he was mumbling, and I'm like, are you like in a trance right now where you talking to me and you hope he give it to you, and you're just standing there and you're spaced out? Because that's how it sounded.
Yeah.
So that's why I get in that drive-thru and be like, y'all, you know, I just left out now. Because that's what he was doing. And I was about 6 looking at him like, you saying stuff, but you ain't saying nothing.
Yeah. I feel you.
So that humor, you would have to be there
to
see it, what I just did.
I feel like you have the most laughs per minute sometimes of you know, like you can go really fast.
Yeah, and I try to do that on purpose because I was so bored with stand-up comedy. Like somebody gonna watch and say, why is he hating on Rich? Why is he hating on Mark? I am not. I'm hating on them about as much as Odell Beckham hating on an NFL player from the 30s. They wasn't doing nothing for real. Like, they really wasn't doing what they doing now. Like, you didn't shoot the ball like Steph, you know what I mean? So even if it's that or whatever, you want to pay homage, do what you want to do. But I always say it, I don't want to bore the people like I've seen comedians do. So I try to make them laugh the whole time. Because it's almost like if I go to McDonald's and you give me something free, or you give me a car and you add stuff onto it, I just be trying to give you more, just like a Chinese person would make it cheap and sell it for less and just make more. Not that mine is cheap, but I'm just trying to give you a lot in that space.
I mean, I remember you and LeVar would do this thing where you would jump on stage and roast him, and then he would just like run off, and then you would do a set. And I remember thinking, like, this is show business. Like, this is, because, you know, it's like it was so creative. Instead of, you know, K-Dub and then you walking up the ramp and all that, you just came from the back, and then he's just like, who is this man on stage? And then you just roasting him, and then he's just like, oh, whatever. And then next thing you know, you doing a set, you doing jokes. We're enthralled. We're like super into it now, because we're just like, oh man, they pulled a fast one on us and it worked.
Yeah. We try to make it real hard for each other. We try to sharpen each other. LeVar is a crazy guy. He's my guy. I've been knowing him over 20 years. Ups and downs.
Yeah.
And he was a rock. You know what I mean? He was somebody. He wasn't going to move. He was going to stand there and fire off. And so I just felt like out of everybody in the comedy game, he was probably one of the ones that I probably can sharpen myself with.
Against,
you know what I mean, LeVar. Everybody else wasn't bringing it. Nobody was bringing it like LeVar was bringing it, especially during the years you're talking about. I don't know what exactly going on now with nobody, but in those days, I felt like LeVar. In that day, in that 2-3 year time period, LeVar was he was a stoner. He was hard.
Yeah,
yeah.
So okay. I feel like you're doing a lot of stuff now with T.I. You definitely worked on his reality show and stuff. And, you know, like how did the relationship with T.I. start?
Well, when I moved to Atlanta, I was in Magic City one night, probably back in like 01, 02. Scobubba introduced. Scobubba said, this is rapper T.I. This is comedian K-Dub. You know, T.I. have a light skin, so I'm like, he a rapper, huh? Yeah, I was like, light skin rapper. Yeah, that's what I thought the first time. But then, in the process of judging this guy, saying, is he really a rapper? Because everybody was a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I looked back behind him and saw the girl from Escape. I was like, oh, he might be a rapper.
Yeah.
That girl from Escape, man. That's, ain't that strange? Mm. So, like, they got to be something, you know, thinking to myself. That's just what I was thinking in my brain. The real
right.
thing. I don't want to hit you with that. Oh, yeah, we was chilling. We was drinking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking. Sko said it's a T.I., great rapper. But I took Sko opinion. Sko could say anything.
Right.
Sko Bubba could say whatever he wanted to say. And I believe it. And everybody he introduced me to, I still know.
Mm. Man, R.I.P. Sko Bubba, man.
Rest in peace.
That's crazy. I feel like in the city at that time, we didn't know what T.I. looked like. We knew his voice before we knew what he looked like. I feel like we found out he was light-skinned, like, later. I feel like we all had a picture in our head of what he looked like, and then when we saw him, we were like, man, that's not what I pictured, but
so
now it all tracks.
That's how you felt?
Yeah.
Oh, you see, I met him before I ever heard his rap. I had never heard a rap from him.
Like, around that same time, like 2001, I mean,
I never
school,
heard,
we,
I'm
we,
serious.
Like, we hearing the music and the, yeah.
I didn't hear I'm Serious because I'm not from Atlanta. I got to Atlanta in July of 01. I'm Serious was already out. We wasn't rocking. We were rocking Outkast, but T.I. wasn't out. I had never heard of him at that point. When I came to Atlanta, I had never heard of Camp or Baby D. Only somebody I ever heard of was Pastor Troy. He was the probably... I had never heard of Youngbloods. Youngbloods might have came out that year, but then they was a part of Attic Crew, and then I can remember Ricky Smiley shouting out Jermaine Dupri. I mean, I can remember Ricky Smiley shouting out Lil Jon and Lil Jon them shouting out the Youngbloods on Comedy View, but I didn't know who they were. It was like, how you looking at? But this is 99, 2000.
Okay.
So
okay.
When I moved here in 01, that's when I heard about the Camp and the Baby D's and all that. That's when I heard about the Sammy Sam's For Real. I heard Sammy Sam's stepdad song, but I didn't know who rap it. And I had heard Kilo's music. Well, not really Kilo. I had never really heard Kilo's music. And
not even like the organized bass, not even like
No, that was Atlanta stuff, man. That was all Atlanta stuff. Like,
wow.
It was people around there that listened to it, but in Memphis, like when y'all start, don't judge me on what I'm saying, but when Atlanta started doing
crunk. It's your truth.
When Atlanta started doing crunk, I had already heard it in Memphis for the past 10 years. And I've always used to tell APL people that they had took crunk from Memphis. And they would say, yeah, we did. They'd never, ever say
tell the club up. Was
they would never say we did. And I never heard an Atlanta person say, no, we didn't. They would always be like, yeah, Memphis. But so it was a different kind of music. And
right.
We weren't listening. But we did. I can remember girls in dances listening to Napster Dancer dancing for money. But I ain't know who sing it. Shout it, swing my way.
Yeah.
I remember that. Didn't know it came from Atlanta.
Got you.
Didn't know where it. Didn't know who sang it. I was 9th, 10th grade. But, you know, Atlanta is the where I wanted to be.
So, were you already doing comedy in Memphis?
Yeah. Before I got to Atlanta, I had already started. I started in...
How old were you when you started?
Well, when I first got on stage... to do some stand-up comedy. I'm just trying to take it all the way back to the Michael Jackson, I'm a Big Boy Now.
What does that mean?
That was his first song he ever recorded, I'm a Big
Boy.
He's probably about 5 or 6 for real. His voice was like So Baby, the babiest song. You never heard a baby sing, go to that. And he's singing about love and a woman and some old stuff. But I think that had to be 9th, 10th grade. You know what? It wasn't stand-up that I was doing. I was trying to sell. I took the camcorder out of that class, the technology discovery class.
Okay.
And I took it to the parking lot, and I was selling cars.
Mm.
And I was putting the prices on the cars of what I thought they should be worth. I'm like, you can get this car for $10. It ain't but $10, man. Come get, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time I ever did a organized stand-up, I had to be about 11th, 12th grade. And I say 11th, 12th because I don't know whether this, I still don't know whether, 12th grade, man, is when I stood on stage in front of people.
Dang. So you was a teenager.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah.
It's
wow. It's on YouTube.
Hey, we don't look anything up on the podcast.
Okay, whatever.
That's
don't do.
One rule.
That's okay,
one
don't look nothing up. You, I don't need
look anything
to.
Up. I'll put a link in the Discord to people.
One
to
thing
see
about it, I don't like to do that anyway. I like to have it on the top of my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were a teenager. What's the age of the people in the crowd?
They range from kindergarten to crackheads, because it was in the park.
You was in the park?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a sound system?
Yeah, it was a sound system, because what these people would do, they would set up stuff, and they would be selling stuff. It'd be vendors out there in the park. It was actually in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, at Sherman Park. They know what I'm talking about. At Sherman Park, they'll set up stuff. It'd be vendors, and people just pass by and stop and buy. And it'd be like maybe some African people on the mic doing African stuff.
Okay.
And it'd just be a microphone, not for me to do stand-up, but for people to go up and do their poetry and stuff.
Okay.
And that's on YouTube. And
what were you doing in Milwaukee?
Well, my mama moved around.
Okay.
My mama moved around, so I lived in Milwaukee half of my life, too. I
really?
Graduated high school in Milwaukee. I started school. I did kindergarten, first grade, third grade, eighth grade, 12th grade.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, I never knew that. I never knew any kind of Midwest, anything was going on. But
yeah, man. Yeah, I lived in Milwaukee. They know me up there. They know me.
Yeah.
Can't figure out where I'm from, because when you go to where I say I'm from, they know me. They classmates.
Okay.
They know me. They know me in Milwaukee. They know me in Memphis. They know me in Mississippi. I ain't from neither one of them. I'm from all three of them. I'm from Atlanta, too.
I mean, a lot of people put you in the Atlanta category.
I've been in Atlanta longer than I ever been anywhere in my life, times five. I ain't never been in no city longer than 2 years, except for Atlanta. And I love Atlanta.
So where else did you live?
Memphis and Mississippi. Milwaukee, right okay. Down through the Mississippi River.
Got you. But moving every 2 years throughout that.
Yeah, just going back here, coming back. I never spent that long in one city.
So do you say that makes you like able to make friends faster or slower?
I can read people. I ain't friends. I got my friends already.
I always got that sense that you could read people.
Yeah.
That's why I never tried to bullshit you. I always felt like, you know what I'm saying, you wasn't trying to hear nothing that wasn't, you know, the real.
Yeah. I ain't had time for it. I ain't had a capacity for it. And the people that I did have that wanted to try to make me listen to things, I had friends who tell me we ain't friends. I was so simple to where you couldn't ask me for a piece of gum twice, because I'd be like, why don't you go buy you some? You like gum, man.
You like gum.
Yeah. So yeah. In the process of that, that'll make a person feel like I don't like them, or I'm just something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, no, I just really want you to just, you can ask me for something once or twice. You can ask me for the biggest thing in the world, just not twice.
Yeah. Just not twice.
Yeah, that's all.
Because it's like,
just go big.
You figured out you like it. Yeah. Figure out how to go get it.
Go get it.
Mm-hmm. K-Dub, what's your favorite color sky?
My favorite color sky? The old black sky with the stars in it, man.
The black sky with the stars in it, and the night sky?
Night sky, man. Yeah.
That makes sense. I feel like you are, you know, well-versed in the nightlife.
Yeah, man. You probably, like, it's like that, because I tell a lot of comedians, like you and other comedians, I probably ain't never seen in the daytime.
Yeah,
Most of you niggas I only see at night.
That's true.
Never saw you in the sunlight.
Yeah.
But I probably have, but you know most of them.
There was that comedians meeting.
I wasn't there for it, man.
You was there at the end. You ended it.
What about when we had the comedian meeting?
It was at Uptown. It was, I want to say Sko was there. I want to say Hank was there.
And what did it do for us?
Zooman, Daryl Dam.
I think I remember this.
T-Mo.
T-Mo. Tell me, I used to ragtop T-Mo.
T-Mo be ridiculous. T-Mo. Yeah.
I seen T-Mo. I ain't seen him get beat up, but I heard he got beat up. Shout out to T-Mo. He gonna laugh at me saying that. He gonna laugh at me. I always say something about T-Mo.
He's one of the comedians that has a K-Dub impression. I feel like that's a my lot friend. Of comedians have K-Dub impressions.
T-Mo is
impressions.
My friend.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
my friend.
Shout out to T-Mo. We definitely got some crazy memories. But you came in, and then I feel like you were like, man, we don't need this meeting. You started going like, man, they trying to talk to y'all, man. They can't tell y'all how to get on, blah, 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 how to get some money or whatever. I'm the only one that was taking notes. I'm the only one that brought paper and pen to the meeting. I'm really thinking like I'm about to like learn some secrets or something.
I've been an asshole over the years, man. I'm glad they ain't got all this on video. I'm 42
and then
now.
The meeting was over, and then everybody just left. Like, you walked out, and then everyone just left the meeting.
I remember that. That's crazy. Like, you know, like, bruh, I be, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I remember. That's crazy. I've done a lot. A bullshit.
I don't know. I do think that there's some there are certain things that are things, and then there are other things that are just kind of learned behaviors, just, you know, the things that we create, but they're not necessarily real. And so I think you doing that kind of like opened it up, like, yeah, there aren't necessarily rules. There aren't, you know, like there are more than one approach. Like somebody telling you how to do it, if they're not doing it, then it's gonna look away.
Yeah, man. Yeah, if they'd have fucked around and had, you know, brought in Dave Chappelle in there, then you sitting there listening. But really, I don't know what this is.
Yeah.
And I know it ain't no rules because I've broke them all and I still move.
Right.
And
would you say you're a rule breaker?
No. I'm, you know, from A to B, like, get this junk out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's almost like you can make your law, and I'm going to break them. I'm going to break some of them because.
Some of them
is just put there for you to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I give you the money if you catch me, type of thing. You know what I mean? If it ain't, it ain't that big of a penalty, I might break them. You know what I mean?
I followed you to the Flame one night, and you cut through every gas station on the way. And I was like, "This is how the Joker drives. Like, this is how a man operates."
That's
we got there
said.
Faster than I ever got there before, but I was a nervous wreck the whole time.
Yeah, man, I got a joke about that. You ever run a light and somebody running behind you and you be kind of like, okay, I'm good now.
That is driving in L.A. in a nutshell.
Yeah.
It is a lot of people, and I'd be like, I feel like I violated the person behind me. They definitely was in the wrong. The person behind them, someone needs to lock them up.
Oh, my God. That's what I said. I was like, I ran through yellow ready. They ran right. through red. That was red sitting
red,
still red.
Yeah.
Like, it had been, like, people were starting to come from the other side. Like, the other fella almost got clipped. You know what I'm telling you? That's where I be.
Oh, man.
Definitely, though, man. But I don't call it a reign of terror. I think I planted a lot of seeds, man. I think I helped mm-hmm. a lot of people.
For sure.
Told them what was correct. Because I was getting some money, man.
Yeah.
I was getting a few dollars, and I was like, man, if I can get a few dollars, I know you can get more. You know,
mm-hmm.
I told Clayton English that one time, like, bro, you can get to it, man. You ain't got no kids. You better go ahead. I had four. You better get to it.
Mm.
But I seen how kind of easy it really, it wasn't easy, but it was like, yo, this ain't hard if you really want it. If you really want it, ain't hard. If you love it and really want it, ain't hard.
Mm.
So that's what I was, I wasn't on that old pay your dues. I don't tell people pay their dues. I tell people stay on stage. There is no dues to pay. Who are you paying them to? I know you shouldn't pay them to me.
Yeah.
Don't pay them to me.
Right.
Just go do well and put me on the show. which like DC Young Fly, he was I was the first person to bring him into a comedy club. Like I went and found him, whether he know it or not. I was looking, I was like, anybody know where he be at? And then I think either Ty Mills or somebody told me. Well, somebody told me where he be at. Somebody, I'll think of it later. And I went over there and I started doing skits with him. Next thing I know, that's when I began to doing some skits. Looking for him and ran into doing skits.
Okay.
And then I told him to come in the comedy club. And he met me, him, Fat and Paid, and Quint Mathis.
Mm-hmm.
They met up with me, I think it was July 31st, 2014. And they brought them niggas in that joint. And I didn't take him to the next places. He went everywhere else by himself.
Yeah.
I mean, he went and got out to Cloud Nine, which I wasn't there that much, maybe twice. He went and got it. He went and integrated himself.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight, I'm going to Huntsville with him. And he just put this, he just pretty much put this money in my pocket. I just walked up on him the other day and was like, yo, give me some money.
Dang.
Not like, you know, literally like, man, shit, well, show it. Let me do something. I probably got a loose date or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, I might have you in Huntsville, man, that weekend.
Okay.
And it's simple, but the jewels I put in D.C., I always, not that I made, D.C. made itself and other
right.
people made him.
Right. I invited him. I was in a group, Lynn Collins and B-Dot, A-Dot, and Fat and Paid, and D.C., they was all doing Vines, and I would tell them about shows and stuff, but, you know, like, you brought him to the show. That's
yeah, I brought
that's
him
smart.
In.
That's what you had to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought him in there. We took a picture that night. Is why I know the date, because it sits on the little bottom of the thing.
It's all right if you circle the day on the calendar every night. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm saying that's the day I started too, July 31st.
Really?
So yeah, that's July 31st. That's why I said earlier
Dang,
on the thing.
Okay, I started August 2nd.
Mm-hmm. August 2nd,
2009.
On August 2nd, I can remember feeling. Oh, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
But August, September. I started Uptown September 16th, 2009.
Yeah.
So about a month and a half after you started. You started, and I was so ready to host. I had to bring, man,
it didn't seem like there was a transition period. It didn't seem like it was like, it seemed like, yeah, the minute you started hosting, it was like, oh, yeah, he's supposed to be doing that.
And I had to prove that to Gary Abdu. He mm-hmm. got Pat Brown, them standing around at the back. I'm like, you ain't got to bring them up here. Because, you know, they were the normal hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And then Duval had Tuesday. And then Nard / Henry Welch had Sundays. And Special K had Wednesdays. Then Griff had Wednesdays. So Pat Brown and C-Dog and Lav Love had Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I came in and clipped a little Thursday, y'all. Mm-hmm. And Gary didn't know whether I could host or not. So I can remember seeing Pat Brown at the back. And I can remember thinking to myself, like, he don't have to send her up here for me. It's over. It's over for you. He ain't never hosting no Thursday again. That's what I can remember saying to myself. It's over for you. I'm going to use every strength of my body to make sure you never show back up here on a Thursday again. And that's why I was doing mm-hmm. so much. And you know what I mean? I was a new host. I was a new host at the time, even though I had been doing it 8 years.
Yeah,
I was just doing 5 and 10 and 15 and, you know, 20, 30, 40 places, but I wasn't hosting.
Really? You were a new host?
When I started, I was a new host. I had hosted maybe.
I was convinced that you were just, like, hosting things other places and, you know, like, man.
I might have hosted. I had hosted. My partner got me a spot called Ashley's back in 02. We hosted that about 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. We did that 4 or 5 weeks straight. That was in 02, 03 or something. That's when Miss Pat started there. That's where I met Miss Pat at my place, Ashley. She was, Kato, okay. Put me on stage. So that was my time about 5 times. And then after that, I didn't host again until like 08. I didn't host none again until 08.
So in that era, what was it like as far as like getting stage time? Like how often could you get on stage in the city in that time?
Well, depending on how tough you were, not as a comic and strong, just how tough. Can you get in these niggas' face and make them put you up for real?
Yeah.
Like, literally. Can you get cool with the owners and make him feel like you got to put me up or I'm going to slap the shit out you when the show over? That's what I did, honestly.
Yeah.
That's all I did was just made sure that you know that if you play with me, now you ain't got to put me up, and your list could really be full, and I understand. But if it was any space and you play with me, because I put anybody up. You know this. I put anybody up. I don't care if we ever got. You can go up. I'm going to put you up.
Yeah.
So when I find somebody who was trying to be spiteful or trying to do anything, I just whoop your ass or make you fight. I didn't care if you win. I just want to put a scar under your cheek. That's it. You can win the whole fight. I just want to put a little scar on your arm, let you know that don't ever play with no other humans like this no more. It could get ugly.
You did it for humanity.
Pretty much. Like, give everybody a chance. Don't you bring your selfish ass in here. Your spoiled, mammy-raised ass in here playing.
That's, man, that's noble. I feel like, you know, I would have loved to come up with somebody like that.
Yeah, that's
you
what I was.
You know what I'm saying? But you already a big dog when I came in the game.
Man, he said a big dog.
You were.
A big dog, little dog at the time. Little dog on the world scale, big dog just right in that zip code.
Nah. They are, first of all, YouTube, not that many sets was on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if you in the comedy, we seen your Bad Boy set. It's on there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we look like, you know, a lot of comics looking at like, how do I get in that screen? That's somebody that figured out how to get in there. We don't even know about the comic views and some of the other things that aren't on YouTube at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we like, we just looking at like what we can grasp, and you being on there and being young and being funny is one of the things that we saw for sure.
Yeah. Then when you meet me, I tell you straight up, you ain't shit. That's crazy, right? My mama told me try to be a better person, but my daddy told me be yourself. You know, I'm going to listen to the man. Got to listen to the man.
Dub, do you believe in other universes?
Hell yeah. I wouldn't be selfish enough to believe it was just me out here eating this carrots and cabbage and eating a bull. Like, no. I guess the Milky Way galaxy is just one galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's space up there because it go to getting dog. That was Daryl Dam up on the Daryl Dam said the world is flat. I said, it ain't flat. Because if it's flat, then it got to be something under the bottom.
Yeah.
They're like, what's if it's flat, then what's under there? It ain't flat. Like, it's definitely round like a seed or a rock. The earth, just like a raindrop. Like, I told him that. I was like, the earth forces a circle anyway. Like, you know what I mean? An egg or anything that's natural. They don't be a square. It don't be a rectangle. You catch some rocks that'll be flat, but they still be circle-ish.
That's real.
Yeah. But it's definitely... It's infinite, I think.
Yeah.
And I think this earth is moving in a direction. And when I was born, 15,000 days ago, it was that far back. You know what I mean? And then now it's really on this end. Just stuff like that. I be thinking like that all the time.
Nah, that's real. I mean, like, you know, even the stuff they tell us the Earth's on its axis. They tell us that, you know, it's got a pattern around the sun and stuff. But, like, none of that is exact. None of that is, you know, you can only prove it to an extent. So it's just like a lot of that stuff is, you know, I feel like you're expressing just in a different way. KW, you're really good with dates. You're really good with the presidents. Where did that come from?
I think when you, it's kind of like, man, in order to know where you're going, you got to know where you've been type of thing.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then I always align, like, whether it be Super Bowls or World Series or anything, I line them up with the date so I can know what was going on, temperature. You know what I mean? I want to know, let's say you might say, just give me a random date. Just give me a random.
May 31st.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean a date like within 1900, 1800, 1700, something behind it.
Okay, just May 31st, 1988.
Oh, man, you could have just gave me 1988.
Okay.
Yeah, that's cool, though. So when I look at it, I look at that. I go to 1988, and I look at it, and I'd be like, that was a Republican's world. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, they went two Republicans in a row.
Right.
You know, from, you know, Reagan to Bush and then
Herbert Walker Bush, yeah.
Yeah. So I use the president to line the temperature up. Mm-hmm. And then I go looking into, I think back on shows and I think back on basketball games, football games, mm-hmm. and I put it all together to tell you exactly what you were doing. Like what the speed was.
Okay.
So that's the only way I can determine, like how you just said earlier about they really can't prove it to it, only to an extent. I doubt that. I think they got all the way down to the thing. Mm. I think they do because I can do it. If you give me $1 billion, I can figure all this stuff out too. I know I can because I already tried. I didn't succeed because I only had that much money in my account. But had you put that other,
yeah.
I'd have had it. But I used them times to check. Just to check the time. I use mm-hmm. everything.
No, I'm the same way. I think I go president definitely first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I might go music.
Music, okay.
If I can.
If you can.
And then I go sports.
Sports.
Yeah.
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 So that's all it ever was. It's not like I want to let you know I know the 3rd, 7th president. That's cool. I need to know that to know something else.
Mm.
I need to know that to be able to tell you something else that you'll never know.
Mm.
Like, let's go back to Daryl. I explained to Daryl. I said, Daryl, the earth ain't flat because, listen, the reason why it's not flat, unless you think it's some white man that's got this big old remote control that can turn the sky a certain color in day and night. That's the only way your theory. I said, because you can start out in Chile,
mm-hmm.
down in Chile, and dry your ass all the way up. Even if you get down to where the Panama Canal and all through there where you can't drive, where there ain't no
yeah.
there ain't no roads. That's cool, too. We just take you a little four-wheeler and get you on through there. But you stand on the ground. And if it's a lake, we get you a little canoe across the lake.
Mm-hmm.
But you stand on the ground. And then you keep on driving when you get to where you can't drive. We got a helicopter there to come get you four-wheel out of the dirt and put you over in a spot where you can drive some more. But you're going to stay on the ground. That's what you're not doing. Is you're not going to fly at all. Just to prove his theory. I said, you could take that on up through Mexico, come on through the United States to Canada, and you keep going past Canada, and you're going on up through, you know, to where Alaska at, land, and you go right into Fairbanks, Alaska. But you drove this whole way,
mm-hmm.
so which means I kept you on the ground. And for some reason, when you get to Fairbanks, Alaska, I would have you explain to me, Daryl, why is it that it's been daylight the whole 24 hours if the earth ain't tilted on its axis from the sun and turning? It has to be turning because I was just in America and it was day and night, which means the earth is moving because it's night over here and then it's day over here and then it's day over here and night over here. But the fact that it's daylight all day in Alaska and it happened to be up here, that thing got to be tilting on the axle.
Oh.
It has to be because that's why it's exposed to that sun, because the way it's tilted during that time of the year. So they got it down to an exact science. Like, exact.
Okay.
Precise.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't realize that. Because I've seen you do the president's thing, and I didn't know if that was just like a random thing or if it's like, you know, a way that you are organizing time, you know? But then I've also seen Bob Costas do the president's thing on his show. And I was like, Bob Costas is one of the smartest people, you know what I'm saying, on the planet. Like, he can write off stuff from all types of eras. And I was like, dang, that's the same thing K-Dub be doing.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Let me know if I'm working on my own or something.
You on to something for sure, K-Dub. What are your plans? Like in a perfect world, what is K-Dub doing?
Plans as in what?
Just period. Just like, what, like, okay, say I do have the $1 billion
mm-hmm.
and I give it to you. What is K-Dub doing?
Well, I know for a fact I probably own every animal that exists. Insect too. That'd be perfect world for K-Dub. And perfect world.
You mess with animals?
Yeah. I ain't mess with them lately because I ain't got time. But I got a bird. My son got a couple turtles. That ain't nothing, but I've had
everything.
What
kind of bird?
Man, I can't even pronounce the name of it. I've been had this bird about a month. Somebody actually gave it to me. It ain't a cockatoo. No, hey, like, you can't look at it. I was going to send a text.
We can give it a nickname.
Man, it's a Man, I knew the name of it. See, I never thought I'd get asked that question because it ain't like I post the bird all the time.
Right,
I just sit with the bird and make sure it don't snatch its feathers out and let it sit on my shoulder. But I would have to figure
Does
it out,
Does it talk?
Man.
Is it a bird that talks?
No, it's a bird that love humans, though.
Okay.
He love humans.
And Max. You let it out the cage, let it fly it don't, around?
It can go in it. I leave the door thing. I leave it down. Like, you know how you shut it up and you put the latch on it? I leave it down. And if he want to go to sleep, he go to sleep. Or he just come out to the edge. Sometimes he fly over to the couch. But most time he pretty much stay over there at the cage. Like, it ain't a wandering bird.
Okay.
It ain't going to just be flying around the house. Sometimes it'll, at random, it'll and come back. Sometimes it'll right there on you. Or just right over there where something soft at, like on the arm of that couch.
Dub, you a whole Disney character. I don't even, like, I would never imagine just a bird, you know, flying around and also chilling, doing its own thing at your crib.
Most comics know me for having lizards and snakes around my house.
Really?
Double D and all them, Dirty South and Tyler, Tiny, anybody, Daryl Dam.
The only time I've been over your crib, I didn't leave. There's an area where people were taking their shoes off. And I was like, I'm just not going to leave this area. That way I keep my shoes on. Because I was picking up Michael DeBay. And I was like, we got to go. If I kick off my shoes, it's going to like send a message of I'm chilling. And I'm not chilling.
You talking about down in, when I was living like in the Smyrna area?
Mm-hmm. I would never dox you. I would never put, you know, what area of town you was out there. But you said it first.
Yeah, in the Smyrna area, Michael DeBay. I don't know if it was Michael DeBay or Lil Rel, but my money came up missing in my house when they were staying there. Michael DeBay had left and Lil Rel had came. I don't know if Lil Rel stole it.
See,
I don't know if Michael DeBay stole it.
You can't blame me because I did not leave the doorway. I was only...
I was leaning more towards Michael DeBay because I don't I mean I don't think Lil Rel is still anything.
No.
But them two were there.
He was straight at that time.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't straight at that time. He was broke as hell at that time. But because he was staying in my house, so you had to be broke. And he was bringing girls in there, so you had to be broke. So if you could have got you a room, so you had to be broke. Only way you don't go get your room.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be broke.
It's over 10 years ago, people.
No, yeah. No, this was 2012. It was 2012.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
over
but
10.
It wasn't even
that's
regular
over
10.
Money.
I'm a collector.
You could have gave me over 10. That was over 10.
No, but when you steal.
He had to be exact.
Ain't no statute of limitation on you stealing from me now. But no.
That's real.
I'm a collector. I collect money. I've been collecting since I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it in cases, all encased and blah, blah, blah. I came in there, and it was out of the thing. Like, somebody had clipped bills, like at least $300 in bills.
Oh, no.
Yeah. To this day, two people that was in my house.
Oh, man. I hate to ask you about the whole $2 bill thing going on right now.
What with $2 bill?
Like, there's some $2 bills that are worth, like, a couple thousand dollars.
That's been like that. There's some pennies that's worth a couple. There's some dimes. That just be new to people that don't collect. That just drives in new collectors. It's people like me that's natural collectors, been collecting since I was 9 years old. Like, literally been collecting for years.
You got all the state quarters?
Been had them. I got them in the corner. I get them away for Christmas. Yeah, all them type of buffalo nickels, I'll give you one. You want a buffalo nickel, man? I'll give you one.
Yeah.
I'll give you one. You want to pick it up from me? I'll give you a Ben Franklin 50-cent piece. You want a peace dollar? You want a Morgan dollar? I'll give you all that junk you heard of. I got stuff you never heard of.
What do you got that I never heard of?
Like, I mean, you probably heard of. Like, I got, like, George Washington Carver and Booker T. Washington is on the corner together. I got a few of those. Black people on the corn. Then
That's
a 50-cent piece. It was made in the 40s, throughout the 40s and 50s.
What?
George Washington Carver, Booker T. Washington has a 50-cent piece. Yes, I got a few of them. So that's what I'm. And then I got some Liberty nickels. And then I got some Arrowhead pennies, like from what? You know, coins been out longer than bills. And I got the.
Wait, coins predate bills?
Yeah. And then I got a 50 cent dollar. I got a dollar. I got a dollar about this big worth 50 cent. It's 50 cent though. It's like a bill.
Yeah.
And then I got silver. you know, just silver, I forgot what they call it, shit.
A dime?
No, just, no. Like if you get a gold, silver bars. Got silver bars, I got, I got this $20 bill. Man, I can't even, see, I ain't looked in it in 2 months. I got to go sit back and look in it because I actually pile stuff up, like maybe 3 or 4 or 5 pieces that I get around the country, and then I go back in and put them in.
Wait, so when you go around the country, like,
I look for bills. I go into pawn shops. I go into everywhere.
Wait?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, anybody that been on the road with me know I step into pawn shops and go in there and look at bills and coins and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so like who, like, well, I don't want to put in, you know, I don't want to put anything on blast where your spots are, but like, I guess what, like, how do you know when a pawn shop's going to have a good,
you don't know. You just waste your time going in there. Like, it's like going over there hollering at a girl. You don't know what she's going to say. You just shoot your shot. Pull up. I might go to 3 of them because pawn shops normally be in the same area. So I hit like 3 and they'll have some. Because people don't really know what stuff is. They think old coins is worth something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Some people think that. But old coins is just an old coin. A rare coin is worth something.
Okay. Well, what would you say, like, do you collect anything else?
I collect baseball cards. I collect anything. I'm not a hoarder, but I got telescopes. I collect anything. I collect anything, like, once. I ain't gonna get 2 telescopes.
Yeah.
And if I do get another, I'm going to get rid of this one ASAP. I'm going to sell it, and this one worth more. I don't want 2 nothing. But I don't have 2 coins. I have sets. I don't want 2 coins. I don't want 2 1985 San Francisco Buffalo nickels. I don't want 2 1863, you know what I mean, such and such or whatever, Standing Liberties.
Do you ever trade?
I don't need to trade because I only got 1 of what I need. So what I'm trading for?
I'm saying maybe you get 2, like, maybe in acquiring a collection, you get a double. Now you find someone else that has something you don't have, and you trade for that.
And then if I trade for something I don't have, I might not have something else that I don't have again, because I'm in sets. I'm a real collector. I don't pile up stuff. Not that I don't have a lot of coins. I don't want a lot of coins. I just want 1 of everything.
Yeah.
I got every damn near bill that's ever been made all the way back to the early 1900s. Like, I got all of these 2019s, and, you know, from 1 Boston, 2 New York, 3 Philly, 4 Cleveland, like the numbers on the bills, 5 yeah. Richmond, 6 Atlanta, 7 Chicago, 8 St. Louis, 9 I think Minneapolis, 10 is, I think, 10 is Kansas City, 11 is Dallas, 12 is San Francisco. Those are the Federal Reserve Banks, the numbers, A through L. So, like, I collect them in that order. So, it'd be 4, 4, 4. 1, yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L. You feel me?
Yeah.
And those are the, you know, 1 is Boston and San Francisco being 12. So, it's only 12 of those banks around the country. And I have to collect the dollars, the 20s. I got $100 bills from 2012, and like my guy be like, you don't spend that. I'm like, nah, I ain't spending that. Like, I can go in my pocket, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, I go in my pocket, and I got these. My money had never fold. I don't fold it at all. So you got the C3s, you know that. You know that was made in Philly.
Okay.
And then you got the B2. You know that was made in New York. The Federal Reserve Bank, and you got the F6. That's Atlanta money. So that's how everything. So even with these hundreds, I got 1 through 12 and these already put up. Crispy. They've been circulated, but now they've been put up. They ain't proof.
Dub, you gotta be in a heist movie. You would kill that.
Man, I think I would kill a lot of stuff.
You would kill a lot of stuff. I agree with that.
If I think about it.
I agree with that. But, man, you know so much about, like, there's so many people that have $100 bills that don't know that.
A lot of people don't even know that they be saying dead presidents. I'd be like, half the people on the money ain't presidents.
Yeah.
Half of them. Not even half of them. If you're going on to the $10,000 bill, where you get the Salmon P. Chase and you get to the Monroes and the what's the boy name? The Grover Clevelands. All them there on the 500.
Grover Cleveland is I think he's a two-time president, right?
Yeah, he's president two separate terms. I think he did
22 and 24.
Mm-hmm. I think it was 22-24. He came after the boy died. Garfield died. Garfield didn't last that long.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was 1881. He did 1885. And then he turned around and somebody else came. Benjamin Harrison came in between them. And then he did 93. Maybe I think he did 93 to 97, I think. Or 81 to 85. And then I think 89 to 93.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't Google it and find out. But I think he can. Something like that. I bet you I'm closer than another motherfucker.
No, the Garfield. Fans definitely would do the Googling. And, you know, they'll definitely tell us for sure. K-Dub, man, it's been a pleasure to have you. Anything you want to tell the people, anything you want to promote?
Follow me on Instagram, Comedian K-Dub23. Apartments, the movie out right now. You can go log on and get it. What platform is on, just go on your phone and put Department, D-A-P-A-R-T-M-E-N-T, department404.com, and it's going to pop right up. You can rent it for $4.99, or you can buy it for $9.99. If you rock with me, you buy it and watch it. It's a classic, executive produced by Tip Harris, DC Young Fly, Carlos Miller, Little Duval, and the Ha Ha Mafia. Most of the people we started with.
Okay.
So you got, it's a must see because we in it.
Who all is the Ha Ha Mafia?
That's Nav Green, Erica Duchess, Tyler Chronicles, Ronnie Jordan, and Jay Ski.
Okay.
And me and Tip Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How has it been with T.I. now that he's doing comedy and stuff?
It's been great, man. It's been great. I mean, it's always great with me. I'm happy regardless. I'm from the ghetto, born in the projects. You know what I mean? So give me a quart, I'm happy. Give me a piece of cheese, I'm happy. I'm mad if you try to do me wrong, but whatever if you do for me, then I'm happy for you. And if you don't do spitefully, then I really, really don't like you.
Gotcha.
Because that ain't the way of the world.
Yeah. Well, no spite over here. I'm glad I got to talk to you. I'm glad I got to tell you man to man that I was ducking you. When I
He's that man to man. He masculine it up, man. Man to man, I was ducking you, bro. That's crazy. That was a dope way, man.
Hey, man to man, dog. I was a coward in 2010. But, hey, dog, you know how it is.
I always thought you was funny, man. That's how life works, though, man. The whole time you thinking what you thinking, I'm thinking.
But
like,
it's out of admiration. It wasn't like I didn't like you.
No,
it
I was can't like imagine.
I didn't. I wanted you and your audience to mess with me. You know what I'm saying? I wanted you and your audience to be like, that guy's funny, and not that guy's trying or that guy's new. That guy don't know what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? That was in my head. It was all in my head.
You know what they told me before I came into Atlanta, before I left high school? I graduated June 6, 2001.
Okay.
I was in Atlanta July 22nd, 2001. You know what they told me?
What?
Be careful. Well, just be 100. Be solid. You might be all right. And when they say I might be all right, if I keep it 100 and be solid, I just decided to do that. And I've been all right so far. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? I've been all right.
Yeah.
So that's if there's anything about you that you know that's messed up, then you do right to be scared. But if you know you trying, which a lot of us, most of us just trying.
Yeah.
Then you'll be all right. And you were. And you, like I said, man, I always thought that. I will tell you if I thought you were. I always thought you were a funny guy.
I would hear from other comics. I'd be like, yo, Dub ain't never told me that. But I never thought of it. I was like, yo, Dub don't mess with me enough to tell me I ain't shit. I didn't think of it like, oh, I'm okay.
Because you weren't not shit. Not that I seen. If you bombed, you just might have bombed on that stage. And I was listening, and backstage, I might have said, oh, man, he said that. And then you bomb down. I'm like, oh, they booing? And then I walk off because you already satisfied me.
Got you.
Had you ripped and not satisfied me and, like, stole some stuff and hacked out on stage, then I'd have gave you the blues and you'd have thought you had a good set. Mm-hmm. You'd have been over calling me a hater because you had a good wacky set, wacky set. You know what I mean? Like, that shit you've seen before. You know this.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, Dev, I appreciate you coming through. Also, secretly, Dub's a nerd.
Man, Dub's a nerd.
A little bit. It's okay.
Hey, man, I've always smart. You can't be dumb and do stand-up. You know that.
That's
you
real.
Be smart.
That's
man.
Real. Yeah. But that's on the low.
You know what's going on, man.
It's been the Inconsistent Podcast with Rob Hayes. Please subscribe to the Patreon. Yeah, shout out to the people in the Discord. Shout out to the Big Tippers. That's it.
Boy, them folks getting sick of me talking about Richard Pryor and Marlon, but I'm going to do it till I die.
Oh, you've done that before?